Today's June 25th, 2023. I'm Tadagasa Warren. This is Mobius Podcast 463. Had a hard time getting it out. And today we've got the good Dr. John Westfall and our good friends. And I'm going to go around the horn, not alphabetically, but around the Microsoft Teams panels. Don Sorcinelli in the upper left. It's like Hollywood Squares. Stephen Hughes in the upper right. And to make the whatever it was they did to win the game, Sven Johansson in bottom left with the good Dr. Westfall in the bottom right. Thanks for joining me, everybody. So we're a couple of weeks after WWDC because everybody, I don't know, it's like Father's Day or something. People are busy. But it actually, I think, gave us all time to think about what we saw and heard or have been reading about in terms of it. And I'm really interested in what you all think about it. But to get started, just wanted to mention, you know, I finally started using Mastodon a while back, and I just learned like 2 days ago that I'll read the thing. There's this place called rssboard.org, and it says every Mastodon uses their RSS feed, which I thought was kind of neat. So if you've got a Mastodon account, you've got an RSS feed for your, what are they called? The utterances on Mastodon. It's not a tweet, obviously. I don't know. I'll look it up later. All right.
RSS XML never goes away.
Yeah. And it's a good thing. Before we get started on our main topic, which is WWDC 2023, I just wanted to note that I know Sven got his also. Sven and I both got our respective Google Pixel tablets. He's holding it up. And I also got the Pinovel USI 2.0 stylus. And I got the free Hyping for Android. So, I'll have a separate discussion on that. But Sven, what are your thoughts on the Pixel tablet so far after
a week? You probably haven't read my addition to the notes, the show notes there, but it's down below yours. It's pretty expensive.
Oh, I see it. Oh, yeah.
bottom line, it's a nice tablet. If you're an Android user, I'd recommend it.
Yep.
There's some strange things about it. It's about the size of an iPad.
Yep.
You know, it's fairly snappy. It's not quite as fast as an iPad, I don't think. But what gets me the most, I think, is what they did with the dock. It's really bizarre.
Oh.
It actually is. I think so. It's $499.
Yes.
The tablet's $499, and they throw in a free dock that they say is $129.
Right.
But they have this other thing called a Google Nest Audio.
Yes.
Which is speaker and AI and plays music and has Wi-Fi and streams and you can Chromecast to it and does all this stuff. Yeah. And it's $99.
Yeah.
And the dock is $129, they say, and it
doesn't do any of
nothing.
That.
Doesn't do anything. and so
compared to a Nest Hub, which is like, what, $79, $59?
Yeah. Or Amazon.
Yeah.
With the display. One. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. With the display. So it's, yeah.
Yeah. It's, I think, and I hear what you're saying. But here's my take on it and by the way, I am a diehard iPad Pro user. So, you know, if you want a good tablet, get yourself an iPad Air Pro Mini. That's the best tablet you can buy today, in my opinion. But the reason I bought this is because Google, in its infinite wisdom of killing products all the time, has removed support for third-party smart displays, like my Lenovo smart display, which is great, by the way. It still works. It's great. But it has been deprecating its features, and it's become less and less useful, and now its support's going to go away. So my conundrum is, well, what do I do? You know, I could buy an Echo Show. There's some really nice Echo Shows available and much cheaper than the tablet, but they're pretty weak. You know, they don't do as much. Although, you know, and the A person is not quite as smart as the Google Assistant, in my opinion. Although it has better weather sources, but aside from that. And also my Echo Show 5 is blinking, so it's, you know, it's not long for this world. So what do I do? What do I do? Do I buy a new Echo Show, which is much cheaper but less facile? Do I get the Google Nest, which I suspect Google's going to kill soon, as they do with all of their products? So I said, well, I've been wanting a nice Android tablet for a while, and this seems like a nice Android tablet. So I'm going to get this with the dock. And like you said, you know, it includes the dock, which is $129 all by itself. So really it's a $330 tablet. $370. See, that's why we need an engineer on with math skills. $370. And so I thought, well, I'd like to try it. Also, I really wanted, you know, for my little Ladage project, I wanted an Android tablet. I've been looking at a bunch of Samsungs with the S-Bands and things. I said, I've not had good luck with Samsung devices, except for the screens.
So which are good. How does your drawing experience differ between the iPad?
Oh, it's not as good.
With the Android? Or?
No. It's the difference. The Pinoval USI 2.0 pen, by the way, is pretty decent. It's a lot better than the god-awful USI 1.0 Lenovo with its quadruple A battery and its spring that falls out of the pen when you change a battery and those kind of things. Seriously, that's what happens.
Not a good user experience.
No. I mean, half the time you don't know if it's working and the tip wears out after. But anyway, to answer your question, I don't know if it's the Android itself or it's the application I'm using, you know, what it supports. So I'm getting pressure sensitivity. That's not a problem. But what I'm not getting is like edge, you know, like if you have I don't have a real pencil handy, but if you turn a pencil away from the tip and you towards the wider end of the shaved, you know, wood, you can get, you know, various kinds of shading and textures, right? And you can do that with the Apple Pencil too, with the right software. And almost all the software does it. But it wouldn't do that on the Android tablet. So I don't know if it's the app. I don't know if it's Android. Or I don't know if it's the pen itself. So I'll have to do a little bit more digging to find out what's going on. But it's a good experience, certainly better than the USI 1.0 experience. I would say it's better than the Wacom EMR passive styluses that come with some Chromebooks. And I would say that, you know, if I could never use an iPad Pro again, I could probably get used to it. It's not as good, but it's pretty darn close.
It's funny when you mentioned and you're talking about the use cases. I think I learned a valuable lesson this week in that sometimes when we compare all the car, you know, and yes, the tablet space, we're talking iPad Pro, we're talking, you know, Pixel tablet. But when you factor in how people are going to use it, individual users are going to use it, I think that kind of matters. I have two examples from last week on vacation. An old Android tablet, you know, like off Android tablet that I had way back when. And I vote it out because it's actually, once it gets chugging along, it's actually great. And it's better watching video and
right.
Podcast. My wife, we looked at, she's only wanted content to stop you on a bigger screen. Mm-hmm. And we ended up for her picking up a Fire 10-inch.
Amazon.
And she used an iPad mini for a long time. But what she decided was her use case was just consumption. Didn't want email on the damn thing. Didn't want to be reached by anybody specifically. She's like, that's what my phone's for. And so it's kind of funny. My curiosity is, what does Google think the use case is going to be for this? You know, we kind of get an inkling from it, from what they're promoting right now.
Right.
The Hub Max. But it would be fascinating to see, because I think a lot of times we get so caught up in the hardware and the capabilities. We're the worst offenders of this guy.
Oh, no. No, the worst offenders are the tech pundits that, you know, change tablets every 2 months.
And my curiosity starts to become, like you said, I have no doubt the best overall tablet experience if you want as a power user. You're going to really use it for all kinds of things. Obviously, today it's still the iPad. But I'm curious what
and they may not be thinking at all. They might just be throwing spaghetti in the wall and
see what happens. Because I can tell you, I've got a Hub Max. I've got this thing. I've got a regular Hub. I've got the Nest Audio. I've got everything for Apple, too. But the sound on this thing in its dock is way less than the Hub Max.
Yes.
It's not really
as good. Too.
It's yeah. Yeah. So it's not really a Hub Max replacement. Now if you get this thing and pair a couple of the Nest audios with it, that would be great. But now you spend another $200 to put a pair of stereo and Nest audios in.
To buy speakers for your tablet.
And by itself, it'd be great if this thing had decent sound and I could stereo pair it with one Nest audio.
Mm.
No, can't do that. So it's kind of like it's a fancy charging station that really doesn't add much that they say is $129.
So have you guys tried docking with a keyboard and trying the Chromebook experience on it? Because that's where like the new iPad, new iOS really shines, I think. It's leaning towards a laptop now.
I paired it with both a Bluetooth keyboard and a Bluetooth mouse, and it works as expected. And it's, the split screen and everything. I would say it's as good as Stage Manager at this point, because Stage Manager isn't very good.
No, you think? I don't think this is quite as good. I think it's a little harder to get into the split screen than it should be.
Really? I thought it was easier.
It's not hard.
Yeah, but anyway, it works great with a keyboard and a mouse, or just a keyboard and your finger.
I've got an anchor dock station for an iPad over here that's got a base that's got a kind of a hub situation.
We bought the
one cable.
One.
I think you've got the same one.
Yeah.
I plugged it into that, and it picked up the Ethernet just fine. So.
Well, nice.
That was kind of nice. Yeah. I thought, it probably has all the USB-C things that you'd expect it to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a nice unit. It really is. I don't know. I would love to see what they think they're going to charge for this if they ship one without a dock by itself. I don't think it's going to be $370, but the lowest price iPad is $449.
Is that right?
I think they could.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's $449, and so I think they could easily get away with $449, for this thing, for the tablet alone. And if they put it at $425, it'd be a steal. And unless you're a real Apple, you want an Apple for whatever reason, you're a Google person, you got Samsungs, you got Pixels, or whatever else.
Yeah,
it's a great tablet, as for the price.
I like it.
I almost think that's the. When we were just talking about what's the use case that they're an Android user. Anything beyond that, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And there are a lot of Android users, right? I mean, there are more Android.
Yeah, there's a lot of iPhone users. And I'll tell you, I did something kind of strange when I was setting it up. I said, go copy my Pixel.
Oh, you did?
I did. And it came up and it looks identical to my Pixel. Everything, even the number of icons across the screen. I've got
like the iPad experience,
and I've got that same number of icons. which I thought was a little strange.
And some apps, many Android apps aren't tablet ready.
Yeah, I noticed that. Speed test is one, so it looks like an old iPad thing where it doesn't have two on it. So
right,
right.
So
it's an app,
but I'm having not used an Android tablet since the Nexus 7. So that, it's a step above the Nexus 7, which I'm sure is a left-handed compliment, but no offense to left-handers.
I love my Nexus 7, second iteration.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with it. I think that, the things that I'm going to write a little personal blog item. It's called First Impression of First Impressions, because I watched a whole bunch of videos before my Pixel tablet arrived to hear what the expert pundits were saying. And it was pretty hilarious. Like half of them were said, every time I reach for my tablet, the battery's dead. Well, you're not a tablet user, good dude. Because the only time my tablet battery's dead is when I used it all day and I didn't charge it. It's not because it was sitting there, just expending energy. And then there's one guy who went off on a rant about how it doesn't support the Apple Pencil. I go, dude.
If anybody's got a Chromebook Pixel and got the pen for it, it doesn't work on this, but just in case you wondered.
Yeah, well, actually, if you, yeah, and if you got the if you got a USI 2.0 stylus with one of your Chromebooks, that will work. But like Apple Pencil 1, Apple Pencil 2, they're not cross-compatible. Although I think it might, the 2 might work on a 1, other than display design for 1. But in any case, the Pinnacle USI 2.0 stylus gets a thumbs up for me.
That's good to hear, because I have one. I have one in my shopping cart at Amazon.
Yeah.
Before you said you got one, I looked around to see what could I use on it since.
Yeah.
You get second. Hold on. You're slower than Todd on this.
I know.
There's a reason for that. The reason, the only reason, is because the ship date was July 26th.
Oh.
And I'm going to be in Washington on July 26th. So. I didn't want to sit out in front of my house for.
Yeah.
So it was weird. Both the company itself and Amazon has ship date, arrival dates.
Oh, I must ordered. I ordered mine just a couple of days ago. I just literally got here yesterday, so I was pretty happy.
From Amazon?
Yeah, I got it from Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. It was supposed to come like in another week, but they got here a few days earlier.
Click now.
It'll show up while we're gone.
Yeah. The other one is the People says, well, you know, it doesn't have a 90 hertz refresh rate. It's only a 60. And apparently it scratches their eyes out or something, you know. But maybe I've got old eyes and I can't tell the difference. But I don't care.
120 or 150. I mean, that's kind of weird with modern technology nowadays.
Even my Pixel 7a, it default is 60. There's an option to go 90, and I just left it at 60 because, hey, save power, you know? Power is king on a phone.
What do you guys think about LTE or 5G on a tablet? Like, it's needed?
Yeah. Not for me.
If you get a phone, you can always tether.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And tethering is a no-cost option for 5.
I do have 5G on both of my tablets, my iPad mini and my iPad Pro. And once you get used to being lazy and not having to turn on tethering, you really appreciate it. So that has been my my curse.
Well, you know, I'm retired and I don't go anywhere anymore.
My wife has it on her mini. And no, she uses that all. I mean, she's at the grocery store. She's not going to get out her phone. She's using it to do stuff, you know, grocery list or whatever. And
on the iPad?
Something up somewhere. Oh, yeah, the mini.
Wow.
Or mini, she's got a plan on it.
Easy.
Yeah. That's right. It's super easy.
I used to carry my iPad mini everywhere, so I can understand that. I don't anymore because I've got nowhere to go. But and in the old days, basically, I had a MiFi from work. And so that was just fine. And it was Verizon, so it had a really slow 5G. But, you know, I really didn't need to stream video and stuff.
Yeah, on the Apple side, if you turn on your tablet and your phone is anywhere near it,
yeah,
and you try to somewhere, it says, "Oh, by the way, you know, I'm turning on your hotspot for you."
Yeah,
and connect to it. That's so on this. Yeah. You know, you set it up once, it's fine, but you still got to go in, turn your hotspot on your Pixel. It's just horrible. It's a horrible experience.
And scratch your eyes out.
Still not. You know, here's the funny thing. I got that LTE before Apple was so nice about prompting and auto turning on. But I still think the best implementation was way back in 2005 when you could use Bluetooth dial-up networking. And just on demand, you would create a connection with your smartphone and, you know, then disconnect when you were using it. But, you know, even I can speak to early Bluetooth.
So many Ericsson phones. Yeah.
I'm a hotel in Vegas.
God, I forgot about that already.
The CTIA, right?
Is that what you were? Yep. Yep, from the wonderful Golden Nugget.
I see you.
Play. What's that stay?
I was just thinking. You know, I haven't thought about the need to tear down or build up and tear down a connection link just to get access in a long time. Because that's what we had to do, basically, right?
Or War Drive, yeah. Look for a hotspot.
As rare as those were back then, yeah. And of course, nobody secured their hotspots back then, so that was a fun. They were fun, fun days.
Is that two watches you're wearing, Todd? Did you get one of the new Pixel watches too?
No, I've got a Apple Watch 6, so it's not even the newest one, and I've got a Fitbit Charge 5. Yep. Gotcha. Yeah, but it's my last Fitbit. They're ever since Google bought them, they've really gone down. Yeah. They've actually removed features, which is ridiculous.
They're following Microsoft's.
Yeah.
Well, then you have to wait long enough so that you can add them as a new feature to the next one.
That's the Apple way.
They removed the barometer from the Charge 5, so it doesn't do stair climbing counts anymore.
Apple is...
That was like its biggest thing. Shrimps?
Yeah.
So going into the WWDC, anyone notice that these widgets that we can now put on our screens, we had that with Mission Control about, you know, 12 years ago, and that's Apple
had that
slowly killed.
You know Yahoo. Do you remember Yahoo widgets?
Yeah. Awesome. Oh!
That's what...
Windows Millennium. Remember the ActiveX widgets or whatever they were called?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a 98SE. You know, Active Desktop.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah. So you too can have a web error message on your desktop.
Mouse also had great capabilities. That was back when everything was neat. Active
something. Yes. Yes. ActiveX, the largest security hole known in history. But so Sven, out of 5 stars, what do you give your?
Oh, it's 4.5, 4.75.
I'm with you.
I mean, it's I'm
perfect, but
you know, I'm perfectly happy with it. I think I'd recommend it to anybody that isn't, you know, head over heels in love with Apple.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny you mentioned that we'll get the WWDC stuff, but I have an old iPhone that doesn't have a plan on it anymore, but has Wi-Fi. So I installed iOS 17 beta 2 last night.
Oh, cool.
So I can have my it has the nightstand mode. I haven't tried the other stuff yet. It finished just before I went to sleep. So I'm gonna I'm gonna play with that a bit. Okay, all right, and I give it 4.5 stars too. It's not perfect. There are things I wish it could do. Like I wish it were a better Google Assistant. It will not, for example, let me play podcasts from the lock screen. I have to unlock it, which is weird.
Oh, that's weird.
All the other stuff works, you know, like you know, Google Music stuff works.
That's a tablet, by the way. The dock, I give 1 star.
A lot of people are disappointed that the dock.
Congratulations! What a great review.
Yeah, a lot of the reviewers are complaining that the dock is, you know, not much of a dock, right? I mean, it just plays audio when you're docked with the tablet. You can't use it as a Bluetooth.
It's an amp and speakers.
Yes, and all the people are saying it's, you know, really sounds good and it's loud. I think the iPad Pro built-in speakers are actually louder than the dock speakers. Yeah,
I think they missed a boat of like actually making it compatible with other devices. I mean, I was talking to Sten about it. It's like just because that's what the loop is, the way it connects. They did it wirelessly, had some cheap charging on. You could put any device on it, and then it would buy it and adapt it for everything. So
yes, yeah, and they should put a watch charger and all kinds of stuff on it. But anyway, at that price, you know,
just take the guts of a Nest Audio and stick it in there. But, you know, I shouldn't even charge anymore for it.
Yeah. All right, WWDC.
Then I'd have one all in every room.
So the thing that was missing for me from WWDC 2023 was a smart Siri. There was zero talk about improving Siri or making it at least as good as everything else is. Because poor old Siri, you know, has a cognitive deficit disorder at this point.
There's nothing to improve. It's perfectly fine the way it is. That's it's what all the house mental changes over time. I mean, they know it. It's getting better, but I don't know how many people use it. I mean, everyone else uses either the G or the X.
So. Yeah, I hear you. And I was, but now that some of the things we've talked about, what is it called? What are the little doodads called? I'm looking at our notes. The widgets and the live something or other. I'm hoping that they'll introduce some kind of a dock for the iPhones or for the iPad. Can you imagine iPad mini 6 or iPad mini 7, whatever they were going to call the next one, with a nice magnetic dock?
iPhone backup.
stuck on a HomePod.
Yeah. You know, it'd be
nice.
It'd,
they could charge with it too, like you said, and have a nice docking station.
Yeah. So, you know, I hope I didn't buy the Pixel tablet too early, you know, just because I wanted something to replace my failing Echo Show and unsupported Lenovo Smart Display. But that's what I'm hoping to see this fall, and they make a bunch of announcements. Okay, let's start.
Pre-order the Vision Pro, though?
Yeah, right. I was going to ask you guys that. 3,499 reasons I'm not ordering it.
Comparably, though, you got, if you look at everything else that's out there, it's about the same price. So you go like Magic Leap that like Dwayne is works with. And then you look at also like Microsoft HoloLens 2, it's around $3,500. So it's comparable.
Yeah, but
how they're going to market
it. Isn't like the Oculus or whatever, it's a Meta or whatever calls their Oculus now. Isn't that like sub 1,000, like a couple hundred bucks?
Yeah, but that's the price it warrants because it's not as high quality. I mean, we compare that to like HoloLens or Magic Leap. Magic Leap is like leaps and bounds.
Getting into
and like the other, and they actually have real applications, real world applications they're using it for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And without getting into a big thing about virtual reality and augmented reality and mixed reality and all that kind of stuff.
XR, AR. Yeah.
So I get the impression you get a lot more HoloLens like augmented reality with the Apple Vision than with any of the Quest devices.
I think so. It's back to who I'll be curious to see who Apple figures will be the user.
Yeah, that's the question. Somebody rich.
Same thing with HoloLens. There's right now it's very targeted to industries and verticals and specific use cases where it's extremely valuable.
Yeah.
I kind of think, based on what I saw at least from WWDC, interestingly enough, I could see this being more of a, for lack of a better term, consumer, because of that they're trying to push the broader experience. But those aren't the people I think that are going to be able to put down the equivalent of a down payment on a really nice car. Again, it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out, who really becomes the audience for these in the short term versus what maybe Apple thought. Maybe they thought they could get people to cough up $3,500 for yet another device, which, I mean, over the years, they've managed to get people to pay a pretty good price, but maybe this is really rolling the dice. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you know, it's like if you got a $10,000 limit on your Apple Card, what the heck?
There are three reasons why I am very strongly considering the Apple Vision.
Okay.
The first is I have not bought any other VR anything.
Me neither.
So in my case, I've been looking at everything that's been coming out and going, not quality enough, not refined enough. I'm saving my money. I'm going to wait to jump in this. I've played with friends' headsets and just never been anything compelling that I've liked from them. So that is, that's the first reason. Second reason is that some of the use cases that I think Apple can do that I would actually like to experience are the most basic things, like full, you know, watching video and, you know, immersive sorts of things. I don't know. I think they can at least get that right in the first version versus, you know, some of the more interactive stuff that people are saying, oh, wait for V2, V3, that sort of thing. And three, if there's a company out there that I don't think is going to make it their mission to turn the thing into interactive advertising and social networking that I don't care about, it's probably Apple. Meta does. I've talked a number of times about how my Ray-Ban glasses that Meta makes the software for, I am shocked that they work. Because when I saw Meta was making that software, I thought this is going to be a horrible experience. It was amazing. It wasn't. Anything Meta makes, I think the functionality is going to suffer because of the drive to get you to become addicted to the things and try to get you into the metaverse. Apple, I think, can actually make a product that says, this is what it does. You use it when you want to use it. You're not going to get forced into using it all the time for marketing.
Yeah. I'll give you a fourth reason. Oh, I'll not give you a fourth reason, but I'll pitch a fourth reason. This is to anybody from the National Science Foundation that might be listening. Reason number four, Dr. Westfall might get one, is if you give him a nice grant. So,
yes, that is true too. Yeah, definite reason. If you'd like to fund some studies in psychology that I could probably use this thing for, I'd be more than happy to.
You know, and the nice thing about psychology is it's not a real expensive grant that gets people started. You could probably do well with just $100,000 for a starter grant, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the VA uses XR for treating PTSD.
Nice.
They actually use it. Yeah, they use it with smell, like kind of like smell-o-vision.
Oh, wow.
To actually bring people back to situations they are at, so they actually learn coping mechanisms to deal with their PTSD. Mm-hmm. So once they learn those coping mechanisms, then it doesn't become as big as an issue to them. So it's been a successful program right now. They basically, they're all disconnected from the network for security reasons. So they basically download programs that are hooked up to a computer. And they're using like that HTC Vives for that right now. And not some Oculus Rift, because Oculus Rift requires that Facebook logon, which is kind of a security issue, in my opinion. And like what John's saying, you probably get pop-up ads every time you like walk across. You see like a bounty thing. You'll get like ads for a bounty and you walk around. Your
kid. Now that you're no longer traumatized by this, why don't you buy something?
Yeah.
Drink.
So John gave the most affirmative facial response, affirmation of what he had just said, since he said the Facebook login.
Facebook login, indeed. But yeah, that said, you know, I remember back in the 90s when I was working for MSN, and I used to hang around the Redmond campus every now and then. There was a fellow who was a Boeing fellow, who used to drive up to Redmond like all the time to talk to the folks at Microsoft, and he was mentioning to me that this is 25, almost 30 years ago, they're using like a heads-up display with some gigantic attachment to do an AR where they would overlay schematics for the engineers and mechanics and so forth as they were working on various things. So I remember the thing he told me was that they, you know, after an hour, everybody would have a massive headache and they're useless for the rest of the day. But that aside, it was kind of cool.
And by the way, that's one thing I have faith in Apple making sure of, back to usability.
Yeah.
Is, you know, if there's one thing, the experience, whatever it is, then we saw a number of experiences during WWDC that they envisioned. But I've got to believe that not on the list of things to do is give somebody a headache using it, which...
Or make them nauseated. But in the rates we've seen, I'm a little bit worried about that. Also that for those of us who don't have perfect vision or don't wear contacts, I think you need a prescription.
Yeah. They have a Zeiss sheep. Yeah, they have a Zeiss lens insert. It's similar to like what they do for like goggles and stuff like that for like athletic. Yeah. But it's a little piece that slides inside.
And I should note, all five of us are wearing glasses right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get to that age group, you have no choice. Hardening of the lenses.
This is the point where somebody's supposed to say, yeah, that's because you used all those other experiences in the past.
Yeah, at least I remember the 90s. They're all digital experiences.
Yeah, so they'd have the Ready Player One suits as well, too. They'll sell along with it, so they complete the outfit, right?
That said,
you're about back when it was Windows Phone, and Here was the mapping software that came with it. They had a Here lens, which was basically a virtual reality where it showed you what the camera was looking at and then overlaid stuff on it.
Oh, I remember that.
And it was just simple stuff, like this is a bakery, and, you know, if you were using it for... navigation, it would put it on an overlay of what this camera was seeing. So if you hold it up straight to your eye, you could probably, you know, kind of was a virtual reality at that time. That seemed, but that Google certainly Glass could have been added. Yeah, that could have been very ad focused. You know, as you look at a store, you could see what the coupons were and stuff.
I just realized I've had the wrong camera on all this time. That's all right. All right, now I'm facing you instead of looking at my ear. yeah, so I've got a logic text sitting on my external display for my MacBook. Oh, and I should tell you, I bought this as a side note. I bought this really nice stand. It's got a heavy base and all of that from Lissen, I think, Lissen. And it was really cheap. It's like under $20, but it looked like it was nice and sturdy, and it is. But they didn't put any lips on the little ledge that your device, your iPad or your display sits on. And so everything kept slipping off. So I had to use Subaru to DIY it to build my own.
Good stuff.
And now it doesn't fall off. It doesn't slip off. So yay, Subaru. Shout out to Subaru, Sugru.
Yeah. Hey, Todd, have you tried the new Apple OS Sedona yet with the new camera interactive conference stuff?
No, I have not. I have not. Let's see. I think I only have two devices that can run Sedona. And I'm not willing to sacrifice either of them to a beta.
So you gotta wait for the new MacBook Pro 15-inch Air?
Oh, no. In fact, we'll get to that. I was going to discuss it later, but
yeah,
a 15-inch MacBook, a 15-inch Air, is too big for me now.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I really think so. If I want a bigger display for whatever, I'll stick an external monitor on it. But the carrier, I don't go anywhere anymore, so I really don't need to carry anything around. But that said, just sitting at my desk or sitting at the dining room table, which is where I'm sitting right now for this podcast, the 13-inch MacBook, I have a 13-inch MacBook Pro, I have a 13-inch MacBook Air with a M1 in it. And to me, that's just a perfect size. I've got a 15 or 17-inch HP Envy, and it's too big. I decided that's just too big.
Yeah, I have a condition called tabitis, where I open up too many tabs and windows, so I need as much of a display as possible.
Yeah, that's where two displays comes in handy. It would have been nice if the Pixel tablet had a sidecar or sideshow or whatever it's called, functionality.
To your Chromebook?
Yeah. The external monitor I'm using with my MacBook is the external monitor for everything. Chromebook.
Yeah, it's a great thing. But it seems like if you're using the Chromebook, you really don't need an extra monitor somewhere. I don't know.
Don't you use an external monitor with your Chromebook, Don?
Yeah, I have in the past. You use multi-monitor. Whatever the platform is, it's funny because to your point on, for me, not that 15 inches are bad, but I would think that the Air, because of its size and its lightness, I always just pictured it as a 13-inch device. So I heard 15, it just doesn't seem right. I don't know. I'm sure it'll sell really well.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was actually looking to see how much I could get out of my Pro to buy right before the 5 years to see how much, trade it in.
Yeah. Well, I'm using a 2019 MacBook Pro right now, and it runs fine. I mean, it runs hot, because it's got Intel in it. It's got Intel inside.
Yeah, that's the issue.
Versus the M series, which shunts. As I've told John, I believe the M series shunts heat to another universe.
Hell,
because it does not get hot. It's sort of amazing. The Pixel 7a, by the way, gets hot. Speaking of things that get hot. Anyway, moving on. So iOS 17, the Journal app, which, I guess they're going to kill a whole bunch of apps with that one. Live voicemail, which is, something Android has had for, I don't know, forever. But yay for that. And also leaving FaceTime audio video messages and name drop sounds potentially dangerous to me, where you can just send your contact info to another device by getting near it.
Device to call that NFC.
What if you accidentally tap somebody's phone? You're being jostled in a crowd in a train station or something. I don't know.
That's had more to do that. I do it than that.
Big pocket.
Is that
around on the subway?
Yeah. Oh, a standby. That's the buzzword I was looking for. Standby, where it goes into standby mode and you can have widgets and stuff. Anyway, what do you guys think about all of the iOS 17 and iPad OS features? I find it interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that was a long
It was.
Even
Yeah, even for a WDC keynote, that was a long keynote. There was a lot to absorb it.
Yeah, for sure.
You stand by the landscape mode?
Yes.
Screen? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
But I'm actually looking forward to that. I mean, I'm one of those guys, I don't even take my phone up to the bedroom with me. It sits down in the family room overnight. And I may actually take it up start bringing it up for that. I've got a charger next to the bed, but I don't use it very often.
Yeah, like I said,
that might be worthwhile.
Yeah, I installed Beta 2 on a Wi-Fi only phone, and it looks nice. You know, it's not too bright and all of that at night. Sorry, Steve.
Do you have like a Google Home or an Amazon Hub next year?
There are features that did not make headlines that I think could be very useful. Live speech and personal voice are now accessibility features that let you record, make a digital voice of your own, and then be able to type it, and it will speak it out in messages, FaceTime calls, in person. I could see that being very useful for people like myself, that when I lose my voice during the year, it can be problematic if I'm supposed to be teaching for 3 or 4 days. And just having that ability, I think about times when I'd have to make a phone call, but on my end, I'm trying to stay quiet for other people in the room.
Yeah.
So I can listen to what someone else is saying, but I don't want to have to be, speaking aloud. So again, Apple throws some really interesting things into accessibility that increase quality of life for anyone. You don't have to have a special need for them. And it's just amusing to me that they get kind of buried all the time in these, keynotes and everything else, when it's actually pretty revolutionary. And if you were to buy a feature like that, someone would charge you $20 a month easily for something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, I'm being one of the older people in our little group here today. I'm looking forward to the day when they, combine it with ChatGPT-10, and then you can talk to me after I'm dead.
You can see your podcast. I'm hosting this podcast for a very long time, Tom, whether you know it or not.
It'll be like the time that I was stuck in traffic and you and Don did the podcast by yourself.
Plausible deniability when we imputed you. You're going to have these weeks where either Don or I will be co-hosting with you, but it'll actually be the other one who will be typing your lines. And,
it's just as
5 years, you'll be able to do this with video.
I've recorded nearly 500 podcasts. It doesn't need to have, it just needs to analyze everything I've said over the last, 15 years. And, and mimic my opinions and stuff. ChatGPT 20, let's say, should be able to do that just fine.
Mm-hmm. So you put the
Mobile Beyond views
down there. I'm looking forward to that.
Which one?
Seems like a weird, the health app.
Oh, yeah.
It's just weird that it was never on an iPad before.
Yeah.
To me. Even though knowing it's not there, I keep picking it up and looking for the health
app. Well, it's like the iPad didn't have a calculator for a long time. Yeah. And it's still,
it's funny that you said that, because when that came up, I'm like, really? It wasn't?
Doesn't?
No. Well, here's another. It wasn't there before? So yes, John convinced me that even though as a poor retiree, I should pay $35 a month for the Apple One subscription, which is very worthwhile, by the way. I really enjoy having Apple News, the full access to Apple News. But what I don't have on iPad is the Apple News audio feature. It's only on the iPhone. It's like the iPad has speakers. Why can't you play the audio news, which is really quite good, actually? So,
well, we're still waiting for the wallet app to show up on iPad. So if you have an Apple Apple Savings or anything,
I thought it was.
Well, you can't even view your statement or anything else. Yeah. So,
many it'd be fine. Yeah, I mean, it'd be perfect, That is something that's in my wife's purse all the time. That Minnie is with her.
The Google tablet tried to set up a Google Wallet when I turned it on. I said, why would I carry a 10-inch tablet? That'd be funny, though. Here, let me pay with this thing. Just to see what people do.
By golly, it is there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you can pay with a 10-inch tablet if that is what your heart desires. Adding to the iPad OS, the Live Activities interactive widgets, which is, you know, earlier I was saying I'd really like an iPad Mini with a nice dock charging stand. I guess iPad Mini 7 or iPad Mini Pro or whatever they're going to call it. Well, the thing I'm really interested in, though, is the improved PDF support. It turns out even after you retire, you have to fill out a lot of forms and things. And I don't have Acrobat DC anymore.
Yeah.
And it's still doable. You know, it turns out that Apple and Microsoft Edge on PCs works fine to edit PDFs still.
Creating a PDF on iOS is always difficult, and they change it every time they use it. I mean, you used to be able to do it inside like the Notes app, and you used to be able to do it inside the Files app, and then the Picture app. It's like, well, which one is it now? You know?
It's the print option.
Yeah.
That's the weird one. You know, when you print and then pinch tab, and all of a sudden you have a PDF. That
you have to go to the, okay. you have to click on the preview in order to create it, which is so like non-intuitive.
Yes. But what I was going to say, that actually, you know, filling in forms and things like that for people who actually provide PDFs, most of them are not fillable. They're just like images. Because people don't know how to
do. So you don't do what I do, where when someone sends me a PDF form that should just be a web form, because that would be way easier in passive aggressive spike.
Oh, no.
Apple Pencil, and I write it out in cursive, which is barely legible, and then I send it back to them. Yeah, it's my little way of saying you should really make this a fillable web form with myself, Google Forms, which we have access to here.
Yeah. Torture with your Doolittle script.
Yes.
But I'm really looking forward to 17, I have to say. The journal app, I know that John's tried a bunch of journaling things that he's mentioned in a podcast in the past years. And
yep.
I kind of feel bad for them, but oh, well, they've been Sherlock.
I think they'll be able to innovate and do more with it. So I'm not too concerned about day one and the other journaling app. I do think there's some really cool... You know, years ago in psychology, we started doing these things like with pagers at the time of, you know, what's your mood and tracking mood, those sorts of things. Now it's cool that those you'll be able to tag those. And I think that's going to help a lot of people learn a lot about themselves that they might not have known before. So I think there's a lot of good improvements on iOS 17, and I'm eager for it to get a wide rollout. It's so funny, you know, you can install it today, really want to, but everyone installing it in order to really enjoy some of that interaction. I think about the FaceTime integration with an Apple TV 4K, and I'm really looking forward to that because my wife and I do a lot of group FaceTimes, and it's been stupid forever that I haven't had an easy way to use my giant television that's sitting in front of us. Yeah, that's our display. You know, we have to look at a little iPad. MacBook.
Do you screen share though? You can screen share from your iPhone.
We've done it, but the latency can be kind of annoying, and I'd rather have a native.
Because I do it with Teams calls and Zoom sometimes. If I want to jump on a trader, I'll just throw it up on there and jump and participate that way. Works well.
Yeah, we've done that with just, you know, whatever tablet or PC we've got, and just HDMI it up to the big TV to do it. But you got to set that up. I've been looking at iPhone mounts. That I'm thinking of sticking the one that goes in your car and sticking one to the back side of my TV and just have it there. I mean, I do it. You know, I've got one, you know, got one sitting here that's kind of wasting in the drawer. You know, if I stick that on the back of my TV hanging down the bottom, I just
that's pretty funny.
Phone on there, you're ready to go. You know,
we don't spend doing after this call now.
Well, I don't have the betas on there, so. I'd have to get the Apple TV beta.
Moving on to the Apple Watch, you know, watchOS 10, I'm wondering if the new features are going to be available on my now aging Series 6 watch. I didn't look at the compatibility. Hoping it is.
I think 6 was... 5 is the last cutoff.
Okay.
Yeah. If I've got a 4. Of course.
Yeah. Oh, I should note that one of my concerns about going back to the Pixel tablet, it's only got 3 years of updates, you know, versus Chromebooks, which have 5 to 8, I think now. So.
Unless you get the extended plan, right?
Yeah. And it's got 3 years of updates, of OS updates, and 5 years of security. So basically, if I live too long, I'm going to have to buy a new one. It's 5 years. Anyway, WatchOS 10 Smart Stack. I think this is kind of what we wanted for, more information on our watch faces. But I'm just kind of reading through it to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. Includes weather, stocks. Yeah, it sounds like it. So I'm hoping this will be...
Sounds like a little smart stack on the phone.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah. And again, with the health features, you know, more health features. So yeah.
The custom workout plan is really going to be nice to be able to do that. There's a nice article on 9to5 Mac that I'll put in our show notes that kind of shows the walkthrough on those custom workout plans. And it's one of those things where if you started playing around with creating these custom plans on your watch last year, where you had to kind of tap a little bit here and there and get it done to the tweak, it'll be nice to be able to do some of that in the iPhone versus having to do it on the watch. And being able to take multiple fitness plus segments and tie them together, that should be a nice addition too. So a big feature of those that like
those. Yeah, they also added stuff for bikers and hikers too.
I mean, yeah.
The functional thresholds for bikers, FTP, and for hikers, just having that nice offline map so you can get back.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, having the full screen bike computer will be nice too, where if your iPhone, you'll see it as a live activity. I'm looking forward to using that with my bike.
I forgot you bought that fancy bike.
I actually just logged my 1,000 on the Rad Extend 5. So
yeah. So that should all be fun stuff. I'm really looking forward to the smart stack more than anything. I will say one thing about the Apple, you know, that fall detector. There's been a couple of times where let's see, time number one, like I had a pencil that was rolling, or my Apple Pencil was rolling off the table, and it fell off. Actually, I reached out and grabbed it before it hit the ground. And my Apple Watch gave an alert and says, "Have you fallen? Have you fallen?" No, just grabbing a stupid Apple Pencil that rolled off. The other one is we had an escaped pet.
It wasn't asking you. It was asking the pencil if it was okay. It was special courtesy from one Apple device to another.
Yeah. Well, our new pet rabbit managed to escape a couple of, 2 weeks ago, and is running around the neighborhood, and I finally caught it in our neighbor's... garage, and I just, it was sort of sitting, you know, cowering in a little area, and I reached out really quick to grab it with my left hand where my watch is on, and as soon as I grabbed it and picked it up, it says, "Have you fallen? Have you fallen?" It might have been asking a rabbit. It might not have been asking me, now that you mention it. But, so, it works. Fortunately, I haven't actually fallen yet, but I know it works, so yay for fall detection.
It catches me a lot of times when I'm banging something with that. With my left hand. I mean, you hit something in the garage or something.
Yeah. And speaking of Sonola, again, with the interactive widgets, right? So they rediscovered, you know, Windows 98 or so we'll see. I don't know. I haven't decided it's something I don't like giving up a lot of screen real estate, although I would like more widgets on my Google tablet, Pixel tablet, because that's kind of what it's there for.
Yeah. Oh, did you notice, did you see that they have a new weather app?
You know,
You can't get to it unless you use the weather.
Yeah, it's not, it's a widget only app, right?
Yeah, it's really weird. There's no app for it, but if you use one of the weather widgets and tap it, it's got a very nice weather app.
So I'm doing it now. I'm looking for it right now. I guess it's alphabetical. There it is. Well, there are two widgets. Which one is it?
Yeah, just pick either one, put it somewhere.
Okay, I grabbed it. Okay, and I see the widget, and I'm going to tap it. That's weird. And it is a nice app.
It is nice. Yeah.
Although, as usual, Google's, let me go look at my thermometer. Yeah, as usual, at least where I live, Google's weather source is about 4 degrees off from my actual temperature. It's always 4 or 5 degrees lower than it actually is here, which makes it seem a lot more comfortable than it normally is. But yeah, I'll put a screenshot of it in our podcast blog. It is a very nice app, I have to say. It's too bad it's wrong, but that's
okay. Yeah, if
it's that long. It's accuracy is weird.
It's only probably wherever they're getting the weather from. I assume there's a variation in Hawaii.
Yeah, whatever weather source Amazon uses for, you know, for their Echoes, it's always on target. It's always pretty darn accurate. I usually ask the Echo what the weather is, and I rarely ask Google, except just there was the one time.
The Echoes know where you are by address. So yeah, they do.
And
you
hit point.
Yes. Yeah. They put it in, so it knows exactly where you are.
Yeah, I did ask. I think I did ask. I was asking. This was a couple of years ago. It's never happened again. I asked the Echo for some piece of information, like weather, and my then new Lenovo Smart Google Assistant said, "Hey, I can answer questions too."
That's funny.
So it was listening. Okay, now things I'm not gonna buy: Mac Studio or Mac Pro. Sven, you're gonna buy one, right? Which one are you gonna?
No. No. I've got an iMac over here, and
that was the one when I saw the frame. My eyes did the cartoon rolling and clock. Counterclock.
But that's it. I'm kind of wondering now how much longer my 2019 MacBook Pro is going to hold out. I do have a 2021 MacBook Air M1, so I won't be I won't be Mac-less, but I like having backups.
Yeah,
the telephone engineer in me almost wants redundancy.
Yeah.
When they back when they released the Studio Display.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad a price. Not the big one, but the small one. I had a Mac Mini, and I thought, that's a great display to put on my Mac Mini. And I started looking at it, and I found it was cheaper to buy an iMac than the Studio Display. So,
and it'd be faster anyway.
Yeah. And it had an M1 in it, everything else.
It's like the Vision Pro. You get a PC in there, GPU, a display, outside, inside. I mean, it's a pretty good deal.
I still have a functional 2008 iMac. It's not plugged in, but I booted it up before I, kind of put it away. I didn't take it to e-waste because it still works. I just couldn't bring myself into it, even though it's totally useless.
But, euthanized.
So it just turned off and sitting, in its resting place. I don't have an Apple TV, so I didn't even mention it, but I see somebody added it. Oh, yeah. What do you guys think? FaceTime for Apple TV? Is that what you're waiting for?
Yeah, you're looking. Yeah, it sounds really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, something it should have. It should be just be able to plug a camera into the Apple TV. It's got a darn USB port on it, so
yeah.
I don't know. That wouldn't be as good as using the iPhone, but still, let us plug a camera in there and be done with it.
It should sell a mount for your iPhone on top of your TV, right?
Then that's what I said.
Yeah.
And I'm planning on doing that, and I just have it there for stuff for family get-togethers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, we lost Don.
He was napping.
I could use a nap, to be honest, but
anyway, hey, thank you guys for joining us, me and John, for this one. I really, really appreciated getting your thoughts on it. Steven, it's been too long. We need to have you on more often when your time is available. I know you guys are all busy. I have a friend locally who's bought a bunch of those VR headsets. He uses it to work, actually, to use it as his work display. So I'm trying to get him to give me his thoughts about the new Vision Pro, and I'll try to get that on a podcast one of these days. But anyway, thank you, everybody. And we will talk to you next time. Mm-hmm.